Well, I may not say a lot that's completely new, but I may just kind of pick up on a few of the points that you've mentioned, Dan, along the way for this. It's been my part of the work that I've done over the last several years is sort of monitoring the public debate as it's existed in Canada over the Office of Religious Freedom, especially sort of from its announcement in platform form in 2011 up to its actual operationalization in 2013, February of this year. And one of the things I've noticed, and I think, Dan, this actually fits pretty neatly in with a couple of the points that you made, is there's kind of a, here in Canada at least, and that's the situation that I'll sort of refer to that I know the most about, there's kind of a religious problem in some ways with religious freedom and the way that we think about it. And that is that there are these sort of rival versions of the way that we think about religion in Canada that are actually underwriting some pretty substantial disagreements about religious freedom and even whether religious freedom should be advanced at all, which is something that you noted. And I've sort of come to think about those two versions in Canada. I think the two, there are more than two, I think, but the two most powerful ones are what I would call, what others have called, laicite and Judeo-Christian secularism. I'm aware, incidentally, here, especially in Montreal, that there are different conceptions of laicite as well, of course, open and closed and so forth. The way it's been used in the religious freedom literature, I think it generally refers to the closed concept, but you know, that's perhaps a term that could use some further differentiation. So we'll go from there. I'll quote actually Elizabeth Hurd, who writes about in the politics of secularism and international relations these two forms of sort of thinking about religion, laicite and Judeo-Christian secularism. And this is what she says about what she calls laicism. And I quote her, "By defining something called religion and working to exclude it from politics, laicism constructs and delimits the temporal domain in a particular fashion. This is a political move. It is also a theological one. Laicism marks out the domain of the secular and associates that domain with public authority. Common sense, rational argument, justice, tolerance, and public interest. It reserves the religious as that which it is not, and associates it with a personal God and beliefs about God." End quote. And this perspective, I think, actually has a pretty substantial following here in Canada, and the evidence of that did exist in the public debate. Sadly, we both chose the same journalist to pick on this morning, so I also was going to quote Doug Saunders from the Globe and Mail, who actually had an article on, it's not an accident, he's the international affairs columnist for the Globe and Mail, which is Canada's paper of record, I would think. And he had an article yesterday or the day before on Turkey as well, which actually really basically made the same point, saying, what's happening. It was a whole regional argument, actually. He said, what's happening in the Middle East with religion is essentially bad, and religion is the cause of it. It's because there's religion in politics. It was, it was an aggravating argument from my perspective, but I'll quote him here from the article that I think you were mentioning. "For the ardent religious believer, religious freedom often means the right to restrict the freedom of others or to impose one's religion on the larger world. That's why the most important religious freedom is freedom from religion. Saunders says, and I quote again, "The core values of our common culture, the things that make us Western and modern, democracy, equality, the rule of law, were forged through the rejection of religion and the overthrow of spiritual authority." End quote. In his opinion, Canada should promote, I quote again, "the peaceful removal of faith from the state." End quote. This is obviously a very striking perspective that has huge implications for the way that we think about religious freedom. Religious freedom, as it would be done in foreign policy, would essentially be the orderly removal of religion from other states, the way in which he's telling the story it's been removed from Canada. This is why, huge historical disagreements exist about the role of religion and how we think about that. And So on the other hand, to kind of give you the Judeo-Christian secularist story, which I think is the other really powerful way of thinking about religion here in Canada, it connects the formation of sort of Western secular ideas and legacy, values, culture, and so on and so forth, specifically to a religious tradition, in this case the Judeo-Christian religious tradition. And so the argument there is not that, I mean, this is a pretty fundamental disagreement. The argument there is not that religion was impediment and needed to be expunged from the public sphere in order to produce democracy and secularity and all these other things, but it's actually that religion was intrinsic to the eventual articulation and sustenance of those values. Interestingly, and this is what Elizabeth Hurd says about Judeo-Christian secularism, there are many Christians and Jews that are not Judeo-Christian secularists. Neither does one need to be either Jewish or Christian to adopt the assumptions of Judeo-Christian secularism. This is what she says. The claim is cultural and historical as much as it is religious. And now I quote her, "The common claim of Judeo-Christian secularism of all varieties is that Western political order is grounded in a set of core values with their origins in a Judeo-Christian tradition," end quote. I would differentiate this only slightly more in the Canadian context. I think this might be also useful in the American context. When I was sort of monitoring the debate and looking at the different arguments, there was evidence of what I would call an inclusive Judeo-Christian secularist tradition and exclusive Judeo-Christian secularist tradition. And on the inclusive side, that essentially means that in the Canadian context, yes, democratic virtues and so on and so forth, the things we've come to think about as Canadian values, came from had a particular historical experience of the Judeo-Christian tradition, but it's not necessarily intrinsic or exhaustive to that tradition. So it would be possible, and indeed it's important, for other religious traditions to articulate those same things, and there are parallel places where those can be found. That's the inclusive. The exclusive Judeo-Christian tradition is that really that's the only tradition that can actually produce democratic virtues and secularity. And so there is, I think there is a real difference between those two positions, as you can see, and they were both sort of in evidence, I think, in the public debate. I actually think, just to kind of reflect on where that debate has gone, I think with the appointment of Ambassador Benedin, with the opening of the Office of Religious Freedom, I don't think that he has either adopted a laicist, as Hurd would say, or a Judeo-Christian secularist approach to these things. Now, of course, we wait for further work from the office, say exactly what that approach would be. But I would actually describe the way that he's approached it as a kind of principled pluralist approach that has much more to do with the kind of values and practical manifestations of religious freedom than getting bogged down in some of the debates about whether the state should or should not be involved in defining what counts as religious. And we can talk about that a little bit. Some of that comes from conversations we've had already this week and this weekend about people like Jacques Maritain and Charles Taylor and so on and so forth. But I don't want to go too into that. I think I'll just leave my comments there.
Okay.